moving from single to married. There's a transition, isn't it? That's a big transition going from a state where you had some predictability, you knew what you were doing, it was your thing, and then all of a sudden you're sharing space and finances and priorities with another person. That's a transition. Some people go through that very well, some don't. Some people can transition into marriage fairly well, others can't.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a conference speaker and coach, and your advocate for the family. It's day one of Dr. Randy's introduction to his Transitions series. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and I do welcome you to the Intentional Living Center. I'm very excited about these next 3 days as we begin this series on transitions. As I said in that clip at the beginning, transitions are inevitable, not only if you get married, but sometimes when people stop being married, they go through a divorce or there's been a death. Of course, with children showing up on the scene, changes in the workplace, life is a series of transitions. And the quality of your life has a lot to do with how you deal with transitions and how, as a follower of Christ, you choose to be intentional during the transitions of your life. And so in just a moment, I'm going to take you over to our teaching center, and there we'll begin this series that was recorded a little bit ago with my staff and visitors on transitions. Just before we do that, however, I'd like to remind you of a couple of things coming up. I've got an event that I'm speaking at in Phoenix at the Calvary Community Church. It's Hope Not Shame Conference coming up on February 18th, just a few days away. And it's an all-day conference. I get to speak a couple of times. Cynthia Hyatt and others will be participating. You can check that out at our website. Also, the upcoming Intentional Love Marriage Conference. We begin the series in San Luis Obispo on March the 24th. Wow, if you're not registered, limited seating, check it out. It's all there at theintentionallife.com. All right, let's begin the series on transitions. I'd like to start a series talking about life transitions. And when you think of transitions, we all go through them, right? I mean, there's no way we're going to get through life without going through a whole series of them. And my guess is you've all been through a lot of them already. And I was writing down some of them, like moving from single to married. There's a transition, isn't it? That's a big transition going from a state where you had some predictability, you knew what you were doing, it was your thing, and then all of a sudden you're sharing space and finances and priorities with another person. That's a transition, see? Some people go through that very well, some don't. Some people can transition into marriage fairly well, others can't. Childless couples, people who are married, but they don't have children. Don and I were married 7 years without having children. And so you have a certain pattern, and you get into that process, and then all of a sudden you transition into having children. And that's a big change. All of a sudden, you bring home a baby, right? Now, all of us who've been parents, you know that that's a huge transitional process. Parents to empty nest. You have children, you're raising children, you're responsible for children. You know, your whole life revolves around children. Then all of a sudden, really almost all of a sudden, they're gone. And they're on their own, or they're going to college, or they're getting married, or they're doing something on their own. Then we think of other kinds of transition. Divorce. Going from married to not being married. Not only is the change in your status or your identity at that point, but also just all the emotionality of going from married to divorced. Loss of health. That's a huge transition. You're going along and you're healthy, things seem to be okay, and then boom. All of a sudden, something happens, one of the organs fail, something isn't working well, and all of a sudden you've moved from a state of good health to bad health. It could be chronic or it could be acute. We think of the soldiers coming back from war, men and women who have been serving overseas, and they go over there in one state, come back in a different. That's a huge transition. They even use that word, don't they? Transitioning back home. And they talk about resilience. How resilient are these soldiers in being able to adapt to the huge changes that can occur? And the reality on transition is that some people handle transition differently than other people do. Have you ever noticed some people may go through a divorce and they seem to handle it differently than someone else? I've talked to people over my career who've gone through divorce, and some are more reflective and, you know, it was unfortunate, but it had to happen and so on and so on. And then you hear others and their whole lives collapse, and they seem to have different ways of handling that. I've seen that with Empty Nest. Haven't you talked to people when kids leave home, you hear some, yay, you know, we got an empty nest. We finally can do some of these things that we wanted to do. I mean, they're happy for their kids, but they're also happy for their freedom. Then you see others that go to the empty nest, and it's a crisis of who am I and what's my meaning now in life. And so when we think of transition, what we're going to see as we go through this, I'm going to give you some biblical examples today, and we see some biblical characters that went through transition, they kind of all handle it differently. They looked at it differently. So as I start this series on transition, we're going to get in the days and weeks ahead talking about transitions like retirement and empty nest and divorce and health and some of these different kinds of transitions and how to handle them. But I thought today, just sort of a primer overview on transition and some of the things that we can learn from Scripture as we begin this process to talk about transition.
You're listening to Intentional Living, and Dr. Randy will be back in a moment to continue his teaching. With your gift to the ministry, you'll receive the entire teaching of which today's program is a part. Find out more at theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press number 4. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Change. Practically every politician in American history has promised to deliver change. The voters are demanding change, they say. It's time to change the failed policies of the past. But do we really want change?
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Rod Robinson, your intentional stewardship coach.
There was one man for sure who didn't. He was the rich ruler confronted by Jesus in Luke 18. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and come follow me, the Lord told him. Suddenly, change didn't sound so good. The Bible says the man was very sad, for he was extremely rich. What about you? Ready for change? And will you be up for it when you discover the change involves your finances? Everyone thinks of changing the world, the writer Leo Tolstoy said, but no one thinks of changing himself. But you will, if you're willing to take the journey to radical stewardship.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. Today's program by Dr. Randy is part of a larger teaching called The Introduction to the Transition Series. When you become a monthly member, we'll say thanks and send you the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which includes two autographed bestsellers, the Intentional Living Wristband, and monthly coaching CDs every month. Join today at theintentionallife.com or call 1-888-888-1717 and press option number 4. Now let's get back to Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues the introduction for the Transition Series.
First, games can be won or lost in transition. If you're a basketball fan, you know, you hear the announcers talk about their transition game. You know, can they move from being on the offense to going to the defense in a matter of seconds? You know, they're down there and they're shooting the basket, but they got to get back on defense very quickly. And they get from defense, can they do a fast break and get back on offense? And so transitions are really important. I mean, any coach will tell you learning how to transition to move from offense to defense is a big deal. That's true in soccer. It's true in most sports. You know, even sports like baseball where the transition is slower, it's still important. Can you move from being on the offense to all of a sudden going out and being on the defense? And so many games are won or lost during this transition. And a great example is the relay races. They're won or lost. We saw, in fact, some teams that lost because they couldn't hand off that baton and that transition didn't occur. And if the transition doesn't occur, the game is lost. And so in life, as in, because sports sometimes is just an example of how life operates, these transitional times are important. But the reality is we're all going to go through them. It's not like we can just stop. But sometimes you ever get into a season in life, you say, this is just perfect. I wish I could just stay like this, you know. But that's not reality, because there's always a transition coming. You know, we see that in business, for instance, can either grow or die during times of transition. That can be true in churches. You've seen churches that go through transition, a new pastor coming in, changing of leadership and direction. That can happen in businesses. You know, one of the things that we do at our family business conference is talk about succession. How do you transition from one generation to the next? And the statistics are such, only 1 out of 3 businesses will transition from the first generation to the second. Family businesses. For lots of various reasons, but mostly because they don't know how to make that transition. And I look at even our ministry. We look here, we are 51 years into the ministry. And we've got a board that thinks about that. In fact, one of those is sustainability. How can we continue this mission? It's not about me. See, it's not about it wasn't about Warren and Char Boldhouse. It's about, as a team, you know, we're making a difference in people's lives. And so how do we look at transition? It can happen in homes. It happens in people's lives. It happens in businesses. It's a process that we all go through. And I want to just share a few thoughts about transition. Transition can start externally. In other words, you may be going along in your life and everything is just sort of in one direction, and all of a sudden something happens on the outside that you really didn't have any control over that causes you to have to deal with a potential transition. We don't like to talk about circumstances as Christians, but I think we understand what that word means. Something happens, or there could be an event, or it could be a person that enters into your life that causes some transition to occur. Does that make sense? Like, let me give you a personal example in our own family. When my mom and dad, when I was a teenager, my dad was in business in Detroit. And he was successful at what he did. He's a salesman, and he was very good at what he did. He was vice president of a company, and he wasn't highly trained or educated, but he had that natural gift. That was what he was doing. But I knew, and we could tell, he really felt that God was calling him to do more than just make money for the man, you know, that there was a bigger meaning in his life. And during this season, during that year or two, Donna's dad, Warren Boldhouse, who were friends, my dad and he were friends from many, many years ago, prior to Donna and I being born, they had been friends for many years and had separated and gone different directions. Warren had ended up eventually in Jackson, Michigan, and he was starting a little radio station. My dad was in business and so on. And Warren had this thought, you know, he knew my dad and mother had always been interested in having a camp to help kids, had done that earlier in their marriage. And he picked up the phone and he called my dad, and he said, Maury, that was my dad's, Maurice, my dad's name, called Maury. Maury, have you ever thought about starting another ranch to help kids like you did many years ago called Youth Haven? And it was like at that moment, that was sort of the circumstances, quote, right? You know, those things that occur in a person's life where everything comes together, God is moving through that events. And as a result of that external call that came, my dad and mother and eventually as a family started to explore what it would mean to have a ranch to help underprivileged kids, because ultimately that was my parents' passion. I think I've shared with you before, my dad was telling my mom, if I continue to do what I'm doing now, I'm going to be dead in 10 years. This is ridiculous. You know, doing what he was doing, the stress he was under, it wasn't fulfilling his... He wasn't in his sweet spot. Does that make sense? He wasn't in that place where God had him to be. And so it was an external thing. It was an external phone call that came that began that process that ultimately led to the development of Youth Haven and then, of course, years now of ministry impact.
Indeed. Boy, transitions are interesting. You look back, you can kind of see them. They're clear in the rearview mirror, but not so clear in the present moment. But listen, you may be going through a transition right now. And I hope this series is helpful to you as we take a look at transitions. This is the introduction. We're going to continue to look at some of the types of transitions, empty nest, retirement, and other kinds of transitions in the days ahead. And I just want to say thank you to all of our members. Man, you guys are so special. Thank you for your ongoing, faithful monthly support. You've put it on auto-giving, automatically helping us every month with your gift. You receive this teaching, by the way. You know all of the teaching comes your way on CDs. The transitions, the one you're hearing now, plus the one coming up on Empty Nest, is coming your way. But if you're not a member, come and join us today. Get on this journey. Life is so short. Don't waste another day with just good intentions or procrastination or just living unintentionally, jumping from one thing to another, but to truly be intentional, to have one thing. That's what we say. What one goal could capture your focus today that if you repeated actions into habits could change your life? And that's what intentional living is about, figuring out what pleases Christ and then do it for His glory and our benefit, for sure. And I thank you for your support. If you're not a member, join us today. We've got a couple great resources. My book, The Power of One Thing, and the book, Starve for Affection, both very intentional. We're going to send to you, along with the teaching transitions, on CD. Here's what you do. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on Donate or call 888-888-1717 and press number 4. I'll be talking with Randy and Jennifer right after we hear from a listener who had the faith to step out and transition from his old job of 25 years to a new one. Take a listen.
I just wanted to say I was living intentionally when my wife and I were working really hard, and I was not satisfied with the job I was in, and I'd been in it for 25 years. I'd heard of some opportunities that required some contracts, and so I took the contract to my pastor. We prayed over it, and I got the contract. And then after I got the one contract, I ended up getting two more contracts, which the Lord's been good to us. And the power of prayer is phenomenal. And what He did for us was make us stronger as a faith family and tripled our income at the same time. Thanks. Bye.
Today, talking about change, let's go to Tennessee. I love Tennessee. Randy's on the line there. Hi, Randy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Randy. Thank you. I enjoy seeing your picture on the way to work every day.
Well, where do you see
a large building board?
Oh, you do?
Yes, sir.
Well, all right. Well,
a very large bulletin board on the way into the city of Chattanooga.
Well, all right. I hope I didn't disappoint.
Oh, not at all, sir. Not at all.
All right. Hey, what one thing in change would make a difference in your life?
We're looking for a way to change a path or a legacy. I'm a third-generation divorcee, and I spent my marriage trying not to be a divorcee because of the past and what we've come from. So how do you put the brakes on the past?
Yeah. Well, you can't let it continue to creep in. It's there. It's a reality. There's always a cost associated with an action or lack of action in our life, and But I think Satan loves to take our past and use it against us, Randy. And there's a point of forgiving others, obviously, forgiving ourselves and realizing, here's the picture I have, that the windshield on your car as you're driving to work in the morning is always many times bigger than the rearview mirror. And the only reason I look in the rearview mirror is to see where I'm coming from. And maybe at times to see what's coming up from behind. But other than that, I take a glance at the past or what's behind me, but I put my gaze on the future, which is ahead of me.
Right, right.
And I really think that's a picture. What's difficult for you doing it? What's the toughest part? Have you not? I mean, there's some unresolved things you need to fix?
Well, I've come from, like I said, I'm a third-generation divorcee, and I'm sorry to say that. But I see the impact on it. I see the acceptance among family saying, you know, there's a third generation brought up in a very Christian military. My father's a retired major, brought up in a military home. My mother raised us. And everything that we talked about or worked on in our marriage was not to be divorced. I mean, it's just something that you talk about. When you come from a divorced family,
yeah,
you talk about not being divorced. So right, that past, that legacy, a third generation, How do you just put an end to it?
Well, I think, you know, to me, Randy, it's a decision. And when things happen, we have to look and see, can I go back and reconcile? There's a difference between reconciling and restoring. And reconciling is really a picture of putting things into balance and understanding what's happened, learning from it, trying to reconcile, understanding what happened, having a process of forgiveness, maybe reconnecting with people in a healthy way. In other words, finishing what's back there that we can finish. You know, that little saying, I'll do what I can. You know, the things that I can't, I leave in God's hand. I got to go back and take care of certain things. But there's a point where you can't do everything. And I'll tell you what, life is like, to me, it's like wearing a Velcro suit, you know, and you pick stuff up as you walk along in life, and it starts to weigh you down. Life is cumulative. What we accumulate at age 18 is much different than what we accumulate by age 88, see? And so if we continue to accumulate these things in a negative way, it weighs us down. And when the scripture says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, I think it's there that we can see some healing in our life. So look, we're talking about the enemies of change. Yours could be discouragement. It can be anxiety. It can be fear. It can be many factors that keep us from changing. But I hope that's a help to you. Thanks, and drive safely. Okay, my friend? Let's go to Georgia. Down the road, Jennifer's on the line. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's the one thing you'd like to change?
In my relationships, especially with my spouse, I would like to change me appreciating him more instead of looking at everything that he does, and then I wish he would change.
Do you find then you get an attitude problem?
Yes, I'm very critical, and I have a control issue where I always feel like I have to be in control, because when I'm not in control, I feel like things are going to go bad, and it creates a lot of problems in my marriage.
So it's control, because if you don't control, you think things are going to turn south, and you're responsible for everything.
Correct. When I was younger, there was a lot of things that happened in my life that I had no control over at the time. And I think I developed this attitude that if I'm not in control, bad things happen.
Yeah. Well, what's it like when you decide not to control?
It gives me a lot of anxiety, and it's very scary. But, I mean, in the end, the bad thing I'm thinking about doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just a pattern of me just keep doing it and keep doing it, and eventually it's going to get easier for me.
Yeah, well, we're talking about two things here. We're talking about habit formation, that we want to develop habits that are consistent with God's commands in Scripture, and sometimes habits are not easy to formulate, healthy ones, because the unhealthy ones are easier to fall back on. I would encourage you to go to a scriptural passage and do a little study and maybe memorize this yourself. In the book of Philippians in the New Testament, Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul says, don't be anxious for anything. Which is, that's a tricky thing. I mean, to be anxious for nothing? Because anxiety is one of the major symptoms that we have of change. When we get into change, we want to change, we get anxious about it. He says, don't be anxious for anything. And he gives us the formula here. But in everything, prayer, petition, with thanksgiving. And I think that's a powerful threesome there for you. Prayer, you know, praying to God, petitioning God, asking for his strength, and then giving him thanksgiving, focusing on the things that are true. And as Paul says in Philippians 4:8, whatever's right and pure and admirable, praiseworthy, think on such things. And I think it's just a matter of continuing to develop the habit, taking baby steps, doing it consistently and intentionally, and it will change your life. Okay?
Yes, I think so too.
All right, we're praying for you, Jennifer.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. You can do it.
Hi, Randy. This is Cindy. I've been listening to Intentional Living for 4 years. When I came to Arizona, I was an ex-pastor's wife who had gone through a tremendous, painful divorce where my husband decided to go into the lifestyle of homosexuality. And I was in a very dark pit of depression and despair for many years, and it was shamed, not only because of my family of origin, but also because of this shame. I ended up in the hospital with a bleeding ulcer and blood transfusions, but Now the story is Family Life Radio. Every day of my life, I tune in. I listen to the music. I listen to you, Randy. I listen to one intentional thing. And my one intentional thing was to have hope. Just to have hope. And now my one intentional thing is to spread that hope and spread the joy God has given me. And God has taken me through an incredible valley of the shadow of death to high on the mountaintop, where I was depressed, I'm now filled with joy. Where I was lacking hope and faith, I'm now brimming over with it. Thank you, Randy. You have given me a gift I just can't put into words.
Well, you did well putting them into words. Thank you for sharing that. And boy, I love what you said about having that first goal was to experience hope, but now wanting to spread hope. That's the way it should be. We don't just want to consume it. We want to spread it. And remember, hope is a person. The hope has a name, and that name is Christ. And spreading the good news of Christ is so powerful. Thank you for sharing that with us. Intentional Living is here to help you, encourage you to be a cheerleader, to point the direction of saying, hey, your life can be filled with more hope, and you can spread that hope as you choose to be intentional in your walk every day. That's why we're here. A couple of things I want to mention. This ministry is supported by your gifts. It's funded separately from the radio station. Your support allows us to do this and in turn support what the radio station is doing. So thank you for standing with us. Your monthly support is important. And as a member, we like to say thanks right off the bat here by sending you the new member kit, which happens to be two of my books, The Power of One Thing, autographed, and Starve for Affection, autographed, and The Teaching Transitions and Empty Nest on CD, coming your way. And we'll send it all out to you to say thanks for joining us as a new member today. And boy, we've had some great calls coming in here. I want to say, Renee, thank you for your call from New Mexico, $30 a month. Brett from Oak Harbor, Washington, $50 a month. There's Jill from San Luis Obispo area in California, $20 a month. Thank you. And you can come and join us as well. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Speaking of San Luis Obispo, I'm going to be there along with my wife on March 24th. We've got a really great conference for couples, and it's your Love Your Marriage Conference, Intentional Love. Check it out at our website, theintentionallife.com. Okay? Check it out and get registered. A great session tomorrow as we continue on transitions. I hope you'll come and join us here at Intentional Living.